Welcome back to 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM on your dial. Today in the Acting Up slot, we're hoping to bring you some live coverage from our volunteers down on site at the State Library for the NDIS rally that we're having today, the Save the NDIS National Day of Action. There are rallies happening all over the country today, and we are hoping to bring you a little bit of that coverage today. We are hearing there's some last-minute shuffling, trying to get some space down there at the State Library, but we will bring you what we've got as soon as we can. In the meantime, though, I'm going to play you a little track that we've got here. It's by a band called Zigzag out of Melbourne, and it's called I Care About You, and I think this is the kind of energy we've got to bring into actions like these, to stay in it for the long run. So stay tuned. And we'll be bringing you some of that NDIS rally in the fullness of time. Thanks.
What's taking place in Palestine is horrendous.
Here are some ways that you can keep yourself informed and involved.
Listen in to Palestine Remembered every Saturday morning at 9:30 AM or listen to the podcast.
Join the APAN mailing list at apan.org.au for updates, news about actions you can get involved in, and where you can donate to provide humanitarian assistance.
Listen to other news and current affairs programs on 3CR that also cover Palestine.
The oppression of the Palestinian people has been going on for 75 years. It has to stop. You can be part of making that happen by staying informed and active.
APAN is a proud supporter of 3CR.
Welcome back to 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM on your dial. We are hoping to bring you a little bit of the Save the NDIS rally happening very shortly down at the State Library of Victoria today. Just give you a little bit more information about this NDIS National Day of Action. It's planned for today, the 9th of May, all across the continent to protest some of these proposed NDIS cuts. About 160,000 people are slated to be cut from the NDIS, which is a massive impact on the disability community, not just here but everywhere. There are rallies organised in at least 10 locations, including Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, Perth, Canberra, Hobart. There's also an online protest option, and of course, let people know if they can't make it out, they can tune in here to 3CR Community Radio. We are going to be bringing you all the speeches and so on as they appear in our beautiful feed here. Participants are warning that the cuts are going to reduce access to essential supports affecting independence, safety, dignity. Demonstrations are going to include NDIS participants. We're going to have disability community members, families, allies doing protest actions and lots of speakers. So stay tuned, and we're going to be bringing you some of that. In the meantime, I'm going to play another little track here. This is by a band called Washed out of Nevada, Las Vegas to be particular. This song is called Meltdown in a Public Place, and I'm sure a couple of you listening out there can relate to that. Keep it locked to 3CR, and we'll be back with the rally very shortly, is my fervent wish.
Disabled people are worth every bloody penny. I'm okay with spending money on the supports that we need.
There's more than 400,000 people who should be on the DSP, but are on JobSeeker instead.
I've got a life to live. I've got commitment. Like everybody else in society.
The only way to provide meaningful support is stronger grassroots movements. These institutions are never going to be our saviour.
If everyone was the same, it would be a boring old world we live in.
We need to do a lot of work in this country around shifting community attitudes towards people that don't fit the white, able, straight, cisgendered person.
3CR. Stay tuned, stay radical.
Thanks for tuning into 3CR Community Radio. Sounds like we're almost ready to go down there at the State Library of Victoria for the Save the NDIS rally, hoping to bring you some live coverage very shortly of that. I'll just back announce those couple of songs and a heartfelt apology for that last one. I failed to announce a little language warning on that one. That one was called Nuke the Moon by the Arborists, and yeah, it seems like at the moment that's what the government would rather spend money on, is building weapons to, I don't know, blow up the moon or, you know, bomb whoever or sell weapons to whoever, rather than funding the independence and quality of life of disabled people at the moment. And before that, we heard from Washed out of Las Vegas and Nevada with their little track there called Meltdown in a Public Place. I'm hearing just in my other ear that we're almost about ready to start speaking over there. So I might just start fading in a little bit of that. You got that one? We can hear a little bit of the action down there in the background at Swanston Street. I understand there's been a bit of contention for the space with the Fallon Duffer demonstration kind of refusing to move on and give the NDIS rally a platform, which is a bit of a shame, but I'm hearing that they're making do down there. I'm told that there's about 100 people who've shown up already for the NDIS rally. And we're just trying to figure out what's going on with the sound. Sounds like we're not exactly ready to jump over to the speeches just yet. So I'm just going to play a couple of announcements and we'll be right back. Thanks for listening to 3CR.
Has Centrelink made a decision you disagree with? Most Centrelink decisions can be appealed up to 3 times. Examples of decisions you can appeal include whether you're eligible for a payment, cancellation or suspension of your payment, how much you get paid, and Centrelink debts. One of the most common Centrelink decisions appealed are Centrelink debts. Centrelink will say you owe a debt if the staff determine you've been paid more than you should have. Debts can occur for a variety of reasons. In some instances, if there's been an administrative error or if you have special circumstances, you may not have to repay.
Today for the Protect Our NDIS rally here in Narm. Before we begin, I want to acknowledge that we're on the stolen lands of the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people of the Kulin Nation. They are the true owners of this land. Sovereignty was never ceded, and this always was, always will be Aboriginal land. First Nations people deserve land back, they deserve reparations, and they deserve justice. It's vital to understand that these NDIS cuts that the government has announced will disproportionately affect First Nations disabled people, and to ensure that racial justice and decolonization is a priority in all our struggles, including the one today. Now today, here and across this country, disabled people and their allies are rallying as part of a national day of action organized by the Protect Our NDIS Alliance in response to the Albanese Labor government's plan to kick 160,000 disabled people off the NDIS. Shame! That is a staggering 20% of participants. 160,000 people, many of them children, thrown to the wolves during a cost of living and housing crisis. 160,000 disabled people, not to mention their families, their carers, their loved ones, all made to pay the price so that Labor can give more money to Trump and gas corporations can continue to make massive profits. And for those people who do manage to stay on the NDIS, the average participant will lose $7,000 under these plans in funding for social and community participation. The very funding that allows people to live ordinary lives, to leave the house, and to build relationships in the community as they deserve to do. We strongly condemn and reject the Albanese government's plans. We strongly condemn and reject their austerity bullshit excuses. Our demands today are clear. Do not kick anyone off the NDIS. Tax the gas corporations and the billionaires. And expand disability services, because human rights belong to everyone.
Yeah.
And we are willing to fight for these demands with everything we've got. Because it's no exaggeration to say that people will die because of these NDIS cuts. And many people will be harmed and have their lives destroyed as well. But don't take my word for it. We're going to have a lineup of amazing speakers, including many current NDIS participants, who are going to tell us more about what this could mean for their lives. But before I introduce our first speaker, I want to make a few housekeeping announcements. Firstly, apologies for the competing noise. Secondly, we tried really hard to find Auslan interpreters. We were trying right up till last night. My apologies that we did not get there, but I believe we have a community interpreter over there. If you can't see and need to, please try and move to the front. But on behalf of organizers, we're very sorry for that. Marshals and medics are present today. There are also masks and water supplies and earplugs. Although, with everything that's moved, I'm not quite sure where everything is. I'm sorry. This rally will also be live broadcast on 3CR and Instagram.
No.
So if you have any friends who couldn't...
Not Instagram.
Sorry, not Instagram. Just 3CR. So if you have any friends who want to listen in and can't be here, please let them know. All right, I want to introduce our first speaker. Andrew Bretherton. Andrew is... So Andrew is autistic and has ME/CFS. He is currently on the NDIS, so he knows exactly how important this scheme is. Andrew is also the convener of the Accessible Greens Victoria and a member of Disability Rights and Culture. Please welcome Andrew.
Hello, everyone. Just want to acknowledge everything that's happened today. I think it kind of just really highlights how we're not included in these spaces and our accessibility is not really taken seriously. So I really want to highlight that for everyone and the pain they're going through at the moment. Now, as Hannah said, I'm from the Accessible Victorian Greens. I'm also a member of Disability Rights and Culture. I kind of want to talk about my experience before getting on the NDIS and acknowledge that it is ME/CFS Awareness Day on May the 12th, and it's ME/CFS Awareness Month throughout this whole month, and we're going to be the most impacted by these cuts because the government uses our disability as a political tool rather than as something that should be supported. Before getting on the NDIS, I was experiencing homelessness. I went through a period of hospitalizations because the government believes people with my disability and long COVID deserve conversion therapy, not actual biomedical treatment. Now, we found out through an FOI that the government was paying a controversial researcher to help them kick people with my disability off the scheme. And I am very scared that that's what they're going to do with these cuts now. Shame. Now, we only found this out through an FOI that the government also wants to get rid of.
Oh.
Now, our symptoms cannot be captured by simplistic tick box systems or automated systems. And yet many people fear these reforms and reassessments and automated approaches will wrongly remove supports from some of the sickest people in our community. Now, these supports are not luxuries. Our supports help people eat, shower, take medications, attend medical appointments, cook, clean, and avoid dangerous isolation. What makes this especially painful is that Labor promised us something different in 2022. Now, I see a lot of EAC members out here, and I'm sure they remember the protests we went with Shorten and Labor in 2022. They promised us no cuts. They promised us less bureaucracy. And what did we get? We got Morrison cuts. We got people kicked off the system. Yay! What's changed, Labor? Are submarines more important than people? Yay! We're seeing disabled people being treated as budget problems instead of human beings. And why the government keeps talking about the budget, we're talking about our survival. Sorry, I'm autistic, so the noise is really putting me off.
Do you want the headphones?
Yeah. Now, the removal of supports like short-term accommodation has meant people like me who only have family interstate, I got stuck here with my homelessness situation. So when I applied for NDIS, that's where I am. STR allowed me the ability to go see my family for the first time in the state over 6 years. The government removed that, and now they say I can only take short-term accommodation if it's within my area. Yay! So the burden has now been pushed back onto our families, and mostly onto women, who this is mostly going to affect. The NDIS employs many women, and it also helps the women that are carrying the burden to look after us to be alleviated from that support. Labor has decided to go back on their promises. Labor keep promising that they're an ally to the disability community, yet recently they voted against our marriage equality. They said partner income tests should stay. They ignored the Disability Royal Commission. They didn't even implement 5% of the findings of the Disability Royal Commission. And, oh my God, sorry. And lastly, they promised they wouldn't cut the NDIS. They promised they'd fully fund it. They've gone back on their promises. Well, we're here to say, we're gonna hold you accountable. If you don't wanna help us, we're gonna use our voices and vote for it. Yeah. We've got the Greens here, we've got the Socialists here, we've got all our community groups here, and we will hold you accountable at the next election. Yeah. Do not take us for granted.
Thank you so much. You were amazing.
Hey, Tim.
Oh, no, it's okay.
Thank you. Next up, we have G. Brown. Jude is a disabled and MAD First Nations disability advocate. And she is also an NDIS participant who is at risk of harm because of these proposed reforms. We're so lucky to have them here today. Please welcome G.
Hello everyone. Sorry yet again about the circumstances that today ended up being. Before I do begin, I'd like to take a moment to remember and honour the lives of our disabled comrades who have been killed by inadequate access to support, both directly and indirectly, and I extend this to carers and supporters of disabled comrades at their end from burnout without support. There is blood on the hands of this colony, and Albanese, Butler and the Labor government will bear the legacy of preventable deaths of disabled people across this continent under proposed cuts. Yay! My sibling has been an NDIS participant since this pilot program, joining the scheme of the young child. The NDIS refers to him as someone with significant and permanent disability. Despite this, we have had to continuously fight for the NDIS to adequately fund him. With the supports we were able to secure, he has, over time, gained movement, voice and skills that doctors told us he would never have. He is soon to be 20, and we have fought so hard for him to get funding that meets his needs as a young adult now. Funding that will allow him to develop an adult identity and independence. These cuts risk his future and all the gains he has made. NDIS and the government say the scheme is there for those with the most complex of needs. So why do we and many other families like us have to fight so hard? Why are there so many hoops for even the supposed model participant? I am also an NDIS participant. NDIS access has meant for me, for the first time in my adult life, I've been able to live independently. I've had a full year without any psychiatric admissions, and I've avoided countless unnecessary hospitalizations. For the first time in my life, I'm developing a sense of stability that I've never had, and I fear that that's going to be taken away from me again.
Is that better? Yeah. Thank you, team. This sense of stability and care has been supported by independent support workers who are from within my communities. People who understand my identity, who understand my needs, and can sustain me as a person. I cannot get that from some government-vetted, approved big agency. According to the proposed NDIS changes, I'll likely be told I have adequate capacity and faculties to live or mask independently. My diagnosis is no longer disabling enough, and Butler says people like me aren't meant to be under NDIS and will be caught by state systems. The same state systems that have traumatized me, brutalized me, the same systems that refuse to provide me adequate care because I am too complex. I live in a limbo of too disabled and not disabled enough. But accessing the NDIS should not begin at crisis. Support should not depend on deterioration. Disabled people should not have to become unwell enough, isolated enough, unsafe enough, or expensive enough before the system decides we are worth investing in. A just disability system would not wait for harm and then call itself compassionate for responding. It would build the conditions for people to live with dignity from the beginning. A just disability would let us live full lives in our communities, not lock us up away from social and community supports, out of sight and out of mind. When people talk about NDIS access going to those who truly need it, they erase the fact that support is often what keeps us from being pushed further into crisis. But in this country, crisis has never been responded to equally. Colonial systems have always decided whose pain is believed and whose needs are treated as legitimate. For First Nations people, disability is rarely met with care. We are met with suspicion, punishment, surveillance, removal, and institutionalization. A whole First Nation strategy that outlines the immense and overwhelming inaccessibility and inappropriateness of the current NDIS for mob. And yet there were zero mentions of First Nations people in Butler's announcements. Yeah! Colonization destroyed many of our old people's systems of kinship and collective care, systems where difference was understood and held by community. In their place came a colonial system built around medicalized diagnosis, bureaucracy, and deeply individualized ideas of support. Shame. First Nations people experience far higher rates of disability, and yet we access NDIS less than any other demographic. Shame. In remote communities, more than one in three participants cannot use the supports in their plan. Shame. And for those who do get supports, that support is often traumatizing and unsafe. In remote communities, the language of choice and control is insulting. Choice means little when there are no safe choices. A plan on paper does not create a culturally safe worker or a nearby specialist or drive someone hundreds of kilometres to an appointment. These cuts do not make need disappear. They shift the burden onto families, kinship networks, Aboriginal community-controlled organisations, unpaid carers, and already overstretched community services, onto communities already carrying the cost of government failure. Disability does not exist separately from colonialism. ableism and racism work together through assumptions about productivity, risk and control. For First Nations people, embodying disability often means being criminalised. Distress is read as anger and unmet support needs are labelled as non-compliance. Disabled people are already overrepresented in the criminal legal system, especially people with cognitive disability. First Nations children with cognitive disability in youth detention are massively overrepresented and are part of a hidden and ignored national crisis. When disability supports disappear, the gap is filled by police, prisons, emergency departments, homelessness services, and exhausted families at their breaking point. Only 3 years ago, the Disability Royal Commission handed out 222 recommendations. According to the 2025 Progress Report, 8 have been implemented at the Commonwealth level. So before government cuts another support or pushes another person off a scheme, it needs to answer why it has failed to implement the reforms it was already told were necessary, the reforms it came to ask for and has chosen to ignore. We are being told the urgent problem is cost, but the urgent problem is unsafe systems, inaccessible supports. The urgent problem is more than a decade of feigned ignorance by the government, despite our communities highlighting NDIS issues and solutions for years. Half of these issues could have been resolved years ago if they listened to us. The urgent problem is children with cognitive disability being pushed into youth detention or resi care or the streets. The urgent problem is disabled adults being pushed into segregated, warehoused employment, education and housing. The urgent problem is the almost $60 million in legal fees paid to fight disabled people and their supporters appealing unjust planning decisions. The urgent problem is public money being used for tax cuts, prisons, policing, military expansion and corporate interests while we are told our lives are too expensive. We are not budgets or risks or diagnoses or plans or behaviours. We are people living in a society that too often refuses to make room for the fullness of who we are. We are told who we are before we have the chance to decide. The system calls us dependent before it offers support. It calls us incapable before it offers opportunity. It calls us vulnerable while stripping away our autonomy. It calls us burdens for asking for basic access, dignity and care. Disabled people deserve more than fighting for scraps. We deserve support to build lives that are handed to us not by doctors or teachers or planners or our carers or governments or institutions. We deserve support to live and learn and work, make decisions, make mistakes, take risks, belong and change our minds. Disability carries knowledge the world needs, knowledge about care, interdependence, adaption, resistance, vulnerability, creativity, slowness, survival, and community. We are not just fighting for funding, we're fighting for the future of our lives and of a system that supports our lives.
Fuck yeah!
When government talks about tightening eligibility, cutting supports, and making the NDIS sustainable, we have to ask, sustainable for who? And at whose expense? If this government wants to actually talk about sustainability, let's talk about what actually sustains people. Culture, community, care, country, connection, dignity, self-determination, and the right to become ourselves as we please. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We're going to do a bit of chanting. And we're going to start with a really simple chant. I'm just going to say, protect our, and you're going to say NDIS. All right? Protect our.
NDIS.
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 We want everyone in the city to hear us. Protect our.
NDIS.
Protect our.
NDIS.
Protect our.
NDIS.
Thank you. One more chant. We'll just do one more quickly before we move to the next speaker. When I say, when disabled lives are under attack, what do we do?
Stand up.
We're going to say, speak up, fight back.
Yes, stand up.
When disabled lives are under attack, what do we do?
Speak up, fight back.
When disabled lives are under attack, what do we do?
Speak up, fight back.
When disabled lives are under attack, what do we do?
Speak up, fight back.
Amazing. Thank you. All right. Our next speaker is Naomi Farmer. Naomi is a disability support worker, a social justice advocate, and a candidate for the Victorian Socialists at the upcoming election. Please welcome Naomi.
You're listening to Radical Radio 3CR.
My name's Naomi. I want to talk about a couple of things today, but I want to talk about the cuts to begin with. When people say the cuts will kill, it's not an understatement. We've already seen NDIS denying people the care that is recommended for them, and we've already seen that leading to hospitalisation and death. That is what happened. When somebody needs some care and they are not provided with that care, then what happens is they get ill and sometimes they die. That is what these cuts will mean. We've already seen NDIS randomly ask for a reassessment of your fund plan and kick thousands of people off it because you can't get that in, you can't get a doctor's appointment before their kind of deadline. We've already seen NDIS start do this random kicking people off the system. We've already seen NDIS argue that a whole bunch of things should not be provided for by the NDIS because they're normal things in life. Things that have been recommended to support people with disabilities are often denied because they are, because NDIS likes to randomly deny shit. And now they're talking about substantially more cuts. From my point of view, the NDIS system is already in crisis for the people who need its care. If they are talking about more cuts to that care, then we are talking about an incredibly terrible situation for thousands and thousands of people across the country. And I want to say really clearly, I think one of the things that we should take away from this is that that is not a necessary thing. This is not like the wind blows and you can't stop it. This is a decision that some people have made. Members of the ALP have sat down in a room and discussed, here's all of the recommendations about care people need, etc., etc., and they have decided to not fund it.
Yay!
They have decided that their government would rather focus on military spending, law and order and police and prisons, and making rich people even more money. We currently have a historically low tax rate, corporate tax rate in this country. If you wanted to fund adequate care, I've got a pretty simple fucking idea about how you could do that.
Yeah.
Tax the billionaires. Gina Reinhart obviously has way too much money. She's got enough to give Pauline Hanson a private plane so she can fly around being a racist. She got enough money to take frequent holidays over to visit Trump and smooze with the far right internationally. We should take some of that money and use it to give people quality care. We live in an incredibly rich country. The fact that we cannot adequately provide for people's basic needs is a stain on our society. And it tells you there is something fundamentally wrong with the people who run our society.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to make a second argument that I think flows from this that is important. I don't think that we should spend our time just saying that people with disability need the basic things to provide their care. There's a slogan in the workers' movement that says, we want bread, but we want roses too. And we all deserve roses too.
Yeah.
People with disabilities should not just have their basic health needs met.
They should have the things that they need to live a life of dignity and fulfillment and enjoyment. That also could be provided for very simply if the people in power made different decisions. The next thing I want to say is we've got to admit to ourselves and argue that NDIS is a pretty flawed system. And it's not for all of the reasons that the right-wing media likes to talk about. In my opinion, the reason NDIS is a flawed system is that it has privatised a basic care need, and all of these companies are making a buck off providing that care. When you talk about a cost blowout of NDIS, there's no cost blowout. NDIS was set up so that a bunch of companies could make money providing services. And that is exactly what it's doing. And actually, it looks like a bunch of the reforms that the Labor Party is talking about is going to entrench and make that dramatically worse. When they talk about sustainability of the NDIS, it's actually not sustainability of the NDIS. It's sustainability of the providers that they're talking about. That is an indication of the problems with NDIS. Nobody should be making profit out of giving basic services. These should be things that are provided for people by the government, by our society. They should not be profit-making. And the last thing I want to say is that all of this comes in the context of looming austerity. Already Australia has been going through a cost of living crisis that has seen working class people struggle to afford rising food costs, rising housing costs, all sorts of things. Well, meanwhile, the billionaires are tripling their wealth. And you can see coming on the horizon economic turmoil. The fact that there are wars and all sorts of things going on are going to lead for ramifications that our government seems to be wanting to argue and making the case for what needs to happen when the public purse is stretched is that ordinary people and things that people need get cut. That's austerity, and it's not just going to be a question of people with disabilities. It's going to be our healthcare system, which is already massively stretched. It's going to be our education system, which is already massively stretched. Our community services, which are already massively stretched. You can see the austerity that the government is arguing for. And so you can see what we're going to need to do. We're going to need to organise to fight that back. And that organisation is going to have to take a couple of forms. There's going to have to be a political part of that, an argument that we deserve bread and roses. Yes. An argument that if there's not enough to go around, then we'll take it from the billionaires. Yes. A political argument that we should expect more. Yes. Ordinary people should expect more. We should suspect a society that works for humans. Yes. And then it's going to require us to do a whole bunch of things. I agree with the thing about we need a vote in the state election, but we need to do more than that. We need to get involved in the involved in the community groups, in the organisations, and in our unions. Yeah. A bunch of us who work in disability are in our unions. Our unions should be leading the fight against these cuts. The rights of workers and the people they support are the same rights. We have an interest in working together to fight for equality care that we all deserve to work and live in. And the final thing I'll say is I'm a socialist, and I actually think that if there seems to be something wrong with the world we live in, we should fight for a better world that's fit for humanity. We have a
public, sorry, I'm told, we have a public, Victorian Socialists putting on a public meeting on the 6th of June to talk about some of the cuts that are coming up, the problems with NDIS, and the kind of world and kind of services that we are fighting for. So come along to that on the 6th of June. We have leaflets over on the stall that we can give you. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Thanks, everyone. All right, our next speaker is the first ever Pacifica MP for Northern Metro in the Victorian Parliament, Anasina Gray-Barbaria, and she's amazing. She also holds the disability rights portfolio for the Victorian Greens, and she's a fierce advocate for equity, inclusion, and multicultural communities as well. Thank you so much.
3CR Community Radio,
you,
giving voice
like to
the community since 1976.
Right now, as we advocate for equity and inclusion, and also the fact that First Nations people are disproportionately impacted in our disability communities. Always was, always will be.
Aboriginal land!
Always was, always will be.
Aboriginal land!
I also want to thank the organising committee behind our gathering today, the Protect Our NDIS organising group. Thank you so much. There's been lots of adjustments made last minute, but really appreciate all the hard work. These are volunteers. These are people living with disabilities, allies, champions. So please put your hands together for them. I want to firstly start off by saying disabled people aren't the reason that we have a budget problem. Absolutely not. We have a budget problem because we have Labor governments that are beholden to corporate interests. And before I go on, there's only a few minutes that they've given us of quiet, and I don't want to take up this space because this space should be occupied by people living with disability. So I'm actually going to cut my speech pretty short so that they have their voices centered, people like Christian and Andrew and everybody here. Because this is what we do. We share space. We share space. And in order to share space, we need to know when to step to the side and be right there in solidarity with people that are marginalised, that are oppressed, that are experiencing on the receiving end of these disability NDIS cruel, savage cuts. The NDIS was formed 13 years ago. It was formed 13 years ago based on this philosophy of nothing about us without us. There is plenty of lots to do with you, but without you. And we are here today to listen to people living with disabilities so that we know what we need to do as able-bodied people to advocate, to amplify, to uplift, and to defend the NDIS. So I want to leave you with a message that the governments have a political choice right now. The federal Labor government always have a choice when it comes to budgets. And our disabled community should not be on the front lines of these savage, cruel, heartless attacks. So I want to thank you for the energy. Please sign the petition to end the NDIS cuts. And please, my office, my community office is always open to talk and listen to the community. That's why we're here, using power and privilege for good, but also using power and privilege to share space with all our disability community here today. So I'm going to stop now, but I want to thank you for your energy. Thank you for your advocacy. And please make space. Please make space for people living with disability. Thank you.
Thank you, Anasina.
Have you heard of long COVID? If you or someone you know have had COVID-19, you may still experience symptoms weeks or months later. There are many symptoms of long COVID, but the most frequent are extreme tiredness, shortness of breath, and muscle aches and joint pains. Anyone can experience long COVID, including children. You can find information in your language on the Health Translations website, healthtranslations.vic.gov.au. Just type long COVID as a keyword.
A 3CR supporter.
Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in to our live coverage of the Save the NDIS broadcast today. Clearly, the rally will continue past the end of our live portion here, but we are recording the remainder of the rally. Please stay tuned to our various current affairs and disability rights programs across the coming days and weeks. I'm sure we'll have plenty of opportunity to hear what everyone had to say there. And yeah, just wanted to shout out our technician on the ground there, Danielle, who is currently an audio ability program mentee at the moment. That's a mentorship program for disabled people. And Danielle's been doing fantastic work. And yeah, that's all part of that down there at the moment. My name's Tilda. And just for people who tuned in halfway, there was some weird marching band stuff going on there. And maybe a little bit of missing context. The Falun Dafa group gathered at the steps of Parliament, steps of the State Library, and have refused to give the space and have brought down a marching band and all that kind of thing for their various anti-communist activities. It's a pretty poor showing there, in my humble opinion. My name's been Tilda Joy. Going to play you out with a little track here from local disabled legend Al Carlson. The track is called "A Donk Don't Come for Free," and that is certainly true nowadays. Our artists do need support, and if you want to give them a little bit of dosh every now and then, that goes a long way, especially to people like Al Carlson, and yeah, everyone down there at the rally. Keep up the fight. We are going to hand over in just a moment to Swing and Sway, coming up at 2 p.m. In the meantime, stay tuned to 3CR Community Radio.
We're really privileged to have our next speaker, Christian Astorian. Now, Christian is a disability advocate who has worked in the sector for more than 3 decades at a federal, state, and council level. He has worked with community and disability organizations, and Christian credits the NDIS with helping him get out of bed and contribute to society. So please listen very carefully to the wonderful Christian.
Thank you, everybody. It's great to see so many people here today. And we should always remember that the NDIS is for everybody. Yeah. The NDIS was created for all Australians with a disability who need support in their everyday lives. Problem is, it was created with the idea the free market will take care of everything and adjust itself. As we all know, the free market idea doesn't work. And we already have the evidence with childcare and healthcare. There is the need for safeguards and regulation to protect participants, and a monitoring system in place to discourage overcharging for services and equipment. John, can you press the yellow one? It is very upsetting to see when providers and businesses have different prices for people who are on the NDIS and people who are
not on the NDIS. It's fair to be shot more when you're out on the NDIS. If you really want the NDIS to be sustainable in the future, we all have a responsibility to it, including providers and businesses. Therefore, no more blaming people with disability. By cutting off the funding. Another big issue with the NDIS that creates a massive conflict of interest is allowing service provider to also manage people with disability and NDIS funding. How on earth can we expect people with disability funding to receive the best services and support available when there is a clear interest from providers managing client funding to keep everything in-house with no real opportunity to look around for better services and support. Thank you, the NDIS. We should recognize that many people with disabilities, including those who used to live in a group setting and use their services, have finally gotten the opportunity in the last few years to be out in the community on a one-to-one support like never before. So, to the government, I would like to say, do not cut people with disability funding for social and community participation. And go for the provider who are charging an arm and a leg for the equipment. Only because you are an NDIS participant. Put people fair, not the profit. We definitely need to defend the NDIS because, thanks to this team, myself and many people with disability here today are able to get out of bed to be here. It's fine with you guys. And I would like to remind everybody that I am also involved in a campaign with Sydney Rock for our grandstops. Because we want Sydney Rock to be fully wheelchair accessible for the grandstops. So I will invite all of you to join our campaign. Thank you.
Thank you so much. When disabled lives are under attack, what do we do? We're going to say, speak up, fight back.
Yeah.
When disabled lives are under attack, what do we do?
Speak up, fight back.
When disabled lives are under attack, what do we do?
Speak up, fight back.
When disabled lives are under attack, what do we do?
Speak up, fight back.
Thank you. All right, we're on to our last speaker, Ishtar Hope. Ishtar is an amazing trans woman and a mutual aid organizer. Ishtar helps support multiple disabled people while also being disabled herself. What a legend. Thanks so much for being here today and thanks for sharing your story.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Ishtar Herp. I'm a mutual aid organizer and activist who is on the NDIS and who has a lot of loved ones who currently receive help from the NDIS. The proposed plan to cut 160,000 people off the NDIS is a plan to literally remove all support from one-fifth of people under this scheme. The fallout from this decision will be wide-reaching, catastrophic, and extremely costly. Many people with serious health conditions depend on support through the NDIS to stay alive. If this essential support is taken away, many already unwell people will find themselves left with very few options for their future. I have already lost many disabled friends to suicide. I am terrified for what the future holds for those I love. Yes! Mark Butler suggests that we should further shift the labour of caring for our loved ones onto our community and informal supports. What this suggestion ignores is that in addition to current NDIS funding, disabled people and their loved ones are already stretched to the absolute limit, supporting each other informally to fill existing gaps and keep each other alive. We will need the wider community to step up and cultivate alternative systems of grassroots support if we want everyone to make it through. Allies will be called upon to put their support into practical action over the coming weeks and months. I speak to this as someone who has been doing the work. I have a friend, today we'll call them Strawberry, who lives with severe psychosis and extreme suicidal thoughts. Their condition makes it impossible for them to use public transport, so the only way they are able to attend community events is through their NDIS funding. These community events are a lifeline to prevent isolation, and they offer Strawberry a key opportunity to build informal community networks, which will keep them alive. When Strawberry was temporarily cut off from their formal NDIS support recently, I volunteered with a crew of informal mutual aid volunteers that stepped in to bridge the gap. For 3 months, I spent 4 hours a day traveling across the city to see them and several additional hours each day providing emotional and social support. Two other close friends, both disabled themselves and full parents of multiple disabled children, handled the complicated bureaucracy required for getting Strawberry back into formal NDIS supports. And there was also a few other people involved in that network as well who contributed a lot as well. This informal community support kept my friend alive when the system failed. They are now back on the NDIS and they have funding to see a support worker 6 days a week. I am able to attend to my own needs again, but I'm living under constant fear of the impact future formal support cuts will have on Strawberry, myself, and our mutual disabled friends or their disabled children. Myself and these close friends were given a glimpse of the future human costs that these proposed changes would carry, not just for the 160,000 people facing the loss of formal NDIS support, but the domino effect on entire communities and support systems. Our only two choices going forward are to save the NDIS and stop these changes going through, or for every so-called ally of disabled people to spend full-time hours every day, every week, doing unpaid work to keep their friends alive. If you care about disabled people, it's time to put your actions where your mouth is and join us to fight for a future where disabled people have the resources we need to stay alive.
Thank you so much, Ishtar. Before we finish, I just want to say a few quick words. The NDIS exists because disabled people fought for it. And every right that disabled people have ever won has come through their collective struggle. And every attempt to roll back those rights must also be resisted collectively. We've got to reject governments balancing budgets on the backs of disabled people and disabled children. We must reject the lie that there is no alternative while corporations and billionaires continue hoarding wealth and governments splurge on weapons. This government is counting on people not paying attention while these cuts are locked into the federal budget. They're counting on us not to connect the dots between billions more for wars and billions less for disabled people. They're counting on us not to see through their paper-thin lies of fighting fraud when what they're really doing is punishing disabled people. They're counting on us to be grateful for crumbs and to accept these cuts without a fight. They're counting on disabled people and their families to be an easy target. Well, we're counting on all of us to prove them wrong. We're counting on all of us here to defy their low expectations, to demand better, and to fight these cuts with everything we've got. So we're going to wrap up here, but I want to really say thank you to everyone who's organized, especially the speakers, the marshals, the medics, the volunteers, police liaison. Thank you. And of course, thank you to everyone who showed up. It's so much harder to show up to one of these rallies when you have a physical disability or any other disability and you have to deal with all the sound and the particular chaos we had today. So thank you. And please, the fight definitely does not end today. It starts today. This action was organized by a group called Protect Our NDIS Alliance. Please find us on Instagram. Send us a message to get involved. And there's a link tree in that profile to all sorts of actions you can take, including email campaigns and whatnot. Thank you so much, everyone. Get home safe.